for more than a few seconds, but the dinosaurs stood on straight legs, and many walked erect on their hind legs. Among living animals, erect posture occurred only in warm-blooded mammals and birds. Thus, dinosaur posture suggested warm-bloodedness. Next, they studied metabolism, calculating the pressure necessary to push blood up the 18-foot-long neck of a brachiosaur, and concluding that it could only be accomplished by a 4-chambered, hot-blooded heart. They studied trackways, fossil footprints left in mud, and concluded that dinosaurs ran as fast as a man. Such activity implied warm blood. They found dinosaur remains above the Arctic Circle in a frigid environment unimaginable for a reptile, and the new studies of group behavior, based largely on Grant's own work, suggested that dinosaurs had a complex social life and reared their young, as reptiles did not. Turtles abandoned their eggs, but dinosaurs probably did not. The warm-blooded controversy had raged for 15 years before a new perception of dinosaurs as quick-moving, active animals was accepted, but not without lasting animosities. At conventions, there were still colleagues who did not speak to one another. But now, if dinosaurs could be cloned, why, Grant's field of study was going to change instantly. The paleontological study of dinosaurs was finished. The whole enterprise, the museum halls with their giant skeletons and flocks of echoing schoolchildren, the university laboratories with their bone trays, the research papers, the journals, all of it was going to end. "You don't seem upset," Malcolm said. Grant shook his head. "It's been discussed in the field. Many people imagined it was coming, but not so soon." "Story of our species," Malcolm said, laughing. "Everybody knows it's coming, but not so soon." As they walked down the path, they could no longer see the dinosaurs, but they could hear them, trumpeting softly in the distance. Grant said, "My only question is, where'd they get the DNA? Grant was aware of serious speculation in laboratories in Berkeley, Tokyo, and London that it might eventually be possible to clone an extinct animal such as a dinosaur if you could get some dinosaur DNA to work with. The problem was that all known dinosaurs were fossils, and the fossilization destroyed most DNA, replacing it with inorganic material. Of course, if a dinosaur was frozen, or preserved in a peat bog, or mummified in a desert environment, then its DNA might be recoverable. But nobody had ever found a frozen or mummified dinosaur, so cloning was therefore impossible. There was nothing to clone from. All the modern genetic technology was useless. It was like having a Xerox copier, but nothing to copy with it. Ellie said, "You can't reproduce a real dinosaur because you can't get real dinosaur DNA." "Unless there's a way we haven't thought of," Grant said.
"Like what?" she said.
"I don't know," Grant said. Beyond a fence, they came to the swimming pool, which spilled over into a series of waterfalls and smaller rocky pools. The area was planted with huge ferns.
"Isn't this extraordinary?" Ed Regis said. "Especially on a misty day, these plants really contribute to the prehistoric atmosphere. These are authentic Jurassic ferns, of course."
Ellie paused to look more closely at the ferns. "Yes, it was just as he said. Sirena verifolmens, a plant found abundantly in fossils more than 200 million years old, now common only in the wetlands of Brazil."